With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Thank you, Pete. Let's go blitzing, shall we? Grant and Danny on the Fan every day at noon. Crowbar a couple of teams into one segment, give you a lot of information, rapid fire. We'll start you off on the diamond. Jamal Collier, on the day that Nats pitchers and catchers have reported 1 hour from now, we'll give you a little Nats spotlight on some of those new faces behind the dish and throw in the baseball. Jamal, the big story is Bryce Harper. Is it a done deal that he is gone at this point?
Not a done deal, just because until he kind of goes somewhere else, you don't really want to rule it out that all of a sudden Bryce will, something will come together between Scott Boras and ownership, and all of a sudden he'll be walking through the door. But, you know, that's pretty much where we're at, that it has to be some kind of late hour or deal between Boras and the owner, and something kind of that comes out of nowhere. I would put it pretty unlikely at this point. The Nationals feel good about the team they have and feel good about kind of going forward. But, it's really, really, really hard to say never when you're talking about these two parties, because they just have a history of kind of figuring things out late in the game.
Jamal, the Nationals have allocated, at least this year, just because of the kind of swell in the Strasburg and Scherzer long-term contracts, but they've allocated money to starting pitching that's more than a lot of teams' payrolls. They're all in on starting pitching. I worry, though, about a guy like Anibal Sanchez that hasn't made 30 starts. Steven Strasburg has been kind of banged up here in recent years, in and out, and hadn't been really himself when he came back last year. That could backfire again. Is that a concern at all?
Yeah, it's just really fascinating. I mean, you just think about, you said, like, not just most teams payroll, but teams don't put that kind of money towards starting pitching just in general and around the league anymore. I mean, you see some starters that are really well paid, but, you know, the league is, for the most part, starters are throwing less than ever. These guys are going to bullpens and figuring if we can get our starter through 4 or 5 innings, we can kind of take over from there. And the Nats are basically going the opposite. So, yeah, there's definitely a chance. I mean, they're going to count very heavily on those top three guys throwing, 160 to 180 innings. You know, Anibal Sanchez is probably somewhere around 140 or so. And really, there's not a great path to 90 wins if those guys don't pick up their slack. Because, they do have some options. Helix can kind of push Joe Ross and Fetty and some of the young guys back a little bit, see what you have in camp. But there's not a whole lot of depth here. And I think that is the Nats need those top four guys to make somewhere close to 25 or 30 starts. If not there, it's just difficult to see how they could win this division.
Non-Bryce Harper division. Who should people be pumped about, or what should be getting more discussion as we start spring training here?
There's a couple of things. I feel like I've just been talking about Bryce Harper. So lately, I've been kind of thinking to myself, but the addition of Patrick Corbin is something I think that, it happened a couple of months ago. And I think that just talking about this rotation, this could be the best, 1, 2, 3 in this rotation that's had. I mean, they've had some pretty good 1, 2, 3s at the top of their rotation, but I think that, having him around, having Yongo, just so many new faces, and Brian Dozier, and it feels like it's been a while since he's seen so much kind of new blood ejected to this roster. The young guys will be kind of really fun to watch. I'm excited to see what Luis Garcia and Carter Kieboom look like, and you just see just how maybe quickly they project. But, I mean, there's a lot of things to be excited about with this team that is going to be new, is going to be younger, is going to, have a chance to be really good. And I think that, it's still, a shame that we're still kind of talking about the looming kind of spectrum of Bryce Harper, and that hasn't been resolved yet. But, Nats fans should be excited. I think it's got a pretty good team, and one that, if healthy, should be able to be right there in this really good division.
Jamal, without Bryce Harper, and that's kind of how we're operating here, that this isn't going to happen, do they have enough power?
Yeah. I think so. I mean, I think that you are, going to be counting on – I think the middle line is still going to be really, really good, because I think that, if you have them healthy and you can have, Rendon, Soto, Zim, I think you still have a really good middle order there. I think, you can kind of pick up some of the slack just from having two catchers that should be a lot better power hitters. I think you should just be better on defense. You'd be better on run prevention as well. So that's to kind of add to the power you're losing if you mix up with Bryce. I think that's an area just with home runs. you have to hit home runs to win. I think that that's something that is fair to be concerned about. But if they're better kind of everywhere else around the margins, I think that they feel like that won't be as big of a loss. And especially just kind of going from a net negative to a big positive catcher, I think it's going to be a big upgrade. But, yeah, it's gonna, you know, you need Robles to kind of come in and also kind of put the be productive in that spot as well, which we've seen before the elbow injury that he does have some pop in his bat. But, you know, I think I'm not overly concerned about that, but it is something I'm kind of keeping my eye on. Is will this team be able to, you know, get the ball out of the ballpark enough?
Thanks, Jamal. Enjoy Florida, buddy.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Spring training underway. Pitchers and catchers reported today. Let's talk pop. J.J. Reagan, NBC Sports Washington.com. J.J., we watched the game together last night. That was gross. They had 7 shots through 40 minutes. They got shut out 3-0. The 20 total shots on net in the game were completely misleading, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely. It was something that me and Al Kokin predicted, that eventually Columbus would score a second goal and then all of a sudden the Cats would flurry for a bunch of shots at the end of the game. Yeah, that 20 is low, and even that didn't accurately reflect how much they were dominated in that game. And as you said, 7 shots on goal through 2 periods, that's not going to get it done against Sergei Bobrovsky. They just did not have their legs going last night. They looked like a tired hockey team, and Columbus took advantage.
Virginia Richmond-based clother Jackson James Reagan. Trade deadline looms. What do they need? What will they do?
Every year, Brian McClellan has traded for a depth defenseman. I expect they are going to pick up a defenseman, despite the fact that they have Jonas Siegenthaler down in Hershey and Madison Bally on the bench. It's just what he does, and it's maybe a bigger need this year considering the struggles of the second pairing. So I do expect them to go after a defenseman. What they do on offense is going to be dependent on whether they can get a good deal for Andre Burakovsky. He's playing well right now, and I had some people wondering maybe they're better off keeping him. And you know what? Maybe they are. But and again, we've seen this play out before. There are 25 games left in the season plus the playoffs. I have a hard time believing that he's going to be consistently good through that stretch. So I think if the right deal comes along, they'll ship him out and bring in a player who they think can produce more offensively, which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, especially if you can get someone who can play on the second line, maybe bump down TJ Oshie to play with Lars Eller since they have great chemistry together. But that's dependent on what they can get on the market for Burakovsky. Otherwise, they stand pat on offense, but definitely a defenseman, I would think.
Couple of names that might make some sense. Nick Jensen in Detroit with the Red Wings, or possibly Ben Lovejoy. I know he's a little bit older. He's 34. Neither of those guys would help a lot, but you wouldn't have to give up much. I mean, is that kind of the ilk you're talking about, or would you want to do better than those guys?
I would think that's probably more realistic. Guys like that, guys who strictly depth sort of guys. The only reason why I think they might kick the tires on something a little bit higher profile on defense is just because of the struggles of Matt Niskanen, which is compounded by the fact that he's a righty and you don't have many righties to replace them. Right-handed defensemen are hard to find. So I think they may kick the tires on something like that. I ultimately don't think they're going to get it done because they're expensive. So I think they're going to find, they're going to look for the depth guy. They're going to look for something cheap like they did last year and hope that they can find a diamond in the rough like they did with Michael Kempman.
Scottish Premier League club midfielder Jordan Jones. Appreciate the time.
Thanks a lot, guys.
J.J. Reagan of NBC Sports Washington.com. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. You know that Kyler Murray has chosen football over baseball. You know that the Redskins are one of several teams being linked to him because of the fact that they need a QB and where they're drafting. Would you avoid drafting Murray because of his size? We'll delve into that next on The Fan. What's the right way to do that?
Cracker Jacks.
Cracker Jacks?
Cracker Jacks.
Because isn't it, it's formally Cracker Jack?
Like a single Cracker Jack can be a single unit of Cracker Jack?
I thought Jack? On the, like if you buy it, I thought on the box it says Cracker Jack with no S. I'm pretty sure. So if we just say Cracker Jacks, we're just saying it wrong on purpose because we like it better that way?
Because it's always been that.
Well, in the song, they say Cracker Jacks.
They do, but if you actually see the formally written song somewhere, like the Nats wrote out the song on their steps going upstairs at one point in center field.
There's no plural?
There's no S.
Wow.
Larry Michael, no S.
So it's a Cracker Jack apostrophe S.
No.
I think it's just, but theoretically, okay, this is what I'm going with. I think it is officially, like when they designed the song to be what it was. It was, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I ever get back for it. Will you pull up one of those and we can see what it does?
So the box itself just says Cracker Jack.
That's okay. What I'm saying. The name of the food.
It always has.
It's single. It's like the Miami Heat, and someone at some point decided, well, it should be the Heats. So we just have always said Heats, and now everyone wants to say Heats.
Who said Heats?
Well,
people said Heats?
It's just a comp. No, my point is, it was a singular word that people thought was awkward.
Yeah, like the green wave.
You know how many words are like that, by the way? Where we all,
like, colloquially, we do it wrong.
Societally, yeah. We've decided that the colloquial way of saying it, which is just what sounds right to the ear, is better than what's correct.
Like, irregardless. Just not a thing.
Not a word. But at some point, we just decide we're going to start accepting this, and it becomes mainstream.
Be out with the crowd.
Here we go.
Oh, they cut out.
It's a karaoke version. I should have checked this before. But it's spelled out on the karaoke screen, Cracker Jacks.
All right, I need an actual rendition where someone says those words. That's hilarious, by the way. They just stopped singing on that verse. But you looked up a picture, I think, right?
Yes, yes, yeah.
And I'm right about this, that the actual food is called Cracker Jack?
That is correct.
I think that's the bit, is that we just say it.
Because I still think you can have a plural.
Because here it is. Ready? Popcorn.
It's not popcorns.
It's not popcorns. Popcorn is a corn, in theory, right? I mean, you think about popcorn, it's a piece of corn. But popcorn is in that bag. There's 73 pieces of popcorn. Just like there's 73 pieces of Cracker Jack. It's Cracker Jack. We just say Cracker Jack.
So there are complicated words out there in our language. What's the Brian Regan has a great bit about this, by the way. Is that Chris Farley singing that?
It sounds old, too, so they might do it the right way.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care.
There's no S.
No S in the old grainy black and white 1940s vaudeville style.
There are some tough words, like, what's the plural of moose?
Mike Mussinas?
It's also moose. It's not meese. It's not mooses.
Right, moosen. It's like deer.
Yeah, exactly. Same type of thing. Is the plural of Cracker Jack still Cracker Jack?
Yes, that's my point.
So you can't have different, you can have multiple units of Cracker Jack. So if I have three boxes of Cracker Jack, I don't have Cracker Jacks? Is that what you're telling me?
No. Let me think about this. If you have three bags of popcorn, you don't have three bags of popcorns. See what I'm saying?
I do.
You have three bags of popcorn. If you have three boxes of Cracker Jack, yeah, I would think that's what it should be said as. It would be the equivalent, Danny, if on the bag, Doritos were called Dorito. And, like, the idea is in this bag is a serving of Dorito. See what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And so you would say, I've got three bags of Dorito. That's the name of the item. So, yes, you would have three boxes of Cracker Jack. That's how it should be said. That's not how it's said. Now, does Cracker Jack sound better? Of course it does. Cracker Jacks is perfect. It sounds great.
So I could have one Cracker Jack, or I could have a million Cracker Jack. There's no distinguishing with pearls.
Right, which is why when you're buying someone peanuts or Cracker Jack, you're still only buying them Cracker Jack.
It
would be the equivalent. Yep. This song is like saying, buy me some puppies or some deers. No, buy me some puppies or a few deer. See what I'm
saying?
Because
there's a clear implication.
We've changed it to deers.
Yeah, there's a clear implication. There's more than one peanut involved. You're not just giving a guy one peanut. You want peanuts.
In the same way that there's more than one Cracker Jack. Who is this?
Who's this?
They sound like they've had some drinks.
Eddie Vedder from Pearl Jam.
Okay.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
He went singular on it? Eddie Vedder went singular. Can I get an estimated year on that, please? Any idea?
It's from the World Series when the Cubs are in it.
This year?
No.
Oh, you said when they were
years ago.
Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Cleveland Indians. Okay. So here's where we're at then. We've got a bookended, like, look over here, wise guy, 1927. Who's on first? What's on second? You know, third base. And we've got Eddie Vedder spanning decades and decades.
Yeah, just 2017 going, Cracker Jack.
Cracker Jack. It's Cracker Jack. It's got to be.
It is. I find that troubling. When you start getting into the unit of Cracker Jack, I understand the box is Cracker Jack. But inside the box, there are individual kernels. Right? And the clusters.
Yes, but again, I've blown this. You keep going back to this.
I'm not upset.
I've blown this up. Popcorn.
I understand.
How many pieces of popcorn are in the bag?
I get it.
It's the same thing.
I know it is. I don't like it.
Kettle corn. You ever eaten more than one piece of kettle corn?
Of course I have.
One kernel?
I didn't have kettle corns.
You didn't. You have a problem with that?
Isn't that frustrating?
No.
That didn't frustrate you?
Have you ever been frustrated by it? It's not called popcorns?
I want my plurals. I want plurals. It's easier to understand. It's easier to comprehend if there's consistency. It shouldn't just be moose. It should be mooses, meese.
This is the longest developing take me out to the ball game ever.
I'm just playing it as, you know, mood music.
Oh, it's
because now this,
it's Bernie Williams playing it on the guitar.
Is it really?
Not singing,
sensitive guitar?
Bernie Williams.
He's first team all sensitive acoustic guitar, by the way.
Does he?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Does he ever actually sing or does he just play?
I don't know. This is from Jeter's last game where he...
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, he played this like the seventh inning or whatever.
Absolutely. Yankee Stadium was going nuts. That's awesome.
So there's no time, according to what I'm seeing here, there's ever an S in Cracker Jack. So you're right.
This is what I'm trying to say.
You're correct. I'm not disputing your correctness here.
But you won't acknowledge that popcorn is the exact same and you would never say popcorn. And if that's the case, then why is it weird at all that you would ever say the S on Cracker Jack?
What I'm asking and what I wish, this is just a wish. This is a pipe dream. This is a never come true pipe dream. I want the S. I want to be able to distinguish between I have one kernel of popcorn versus a bag of 100 popcorn. Doesn't that sound weird to you?
No.
It should. I'm going to try one more time. I have one, I have 100. There's no way to distinguish within the word that I have one or there's
because
no way.
Because the plural is on the word before. You have 100 bags of popcorn.
But what about individual popcorns? I have one popcorn, I have 100 popcorn. It doesn't sound weird to say
popcorn
I have 100 popcorn.
Is all of them. That's what it is.
No, I understand that.
It doesn't sound like you understand that.
What are we having trouble with here? I understand the rule.
But you don't know this lady.
Kids,
who is this lady?
These are kids singing. The new generation.
It's Gretchen
wants the
Wilson, the woman that 10 years ago sang Redneck Woman.
You're going to ride hard for Gretchen Wilson?
No, she doesn't know what she's doing.
Isn't she the one about, like, come to the party, bring me to the party? She had, like, a song about a party.
She had a lot of party songs.
Yeah.
And Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
But the song, she had, like, a kid on her hip. Wasn't that, like, part of her song that was a famous one? You're not understanding what I'm saying.
I'm not.
I know what the rule is. I'm not disputing the rule. I'm saying, doesn't it sound strange to say, I have one popcorn in this hand? What, you can picture exactly what it is. It's a unit of popcorn.
No one would say that. They would say, I have a piece of popcorn. Or they have a bag of popcorn.
Bear with me.
You present the item that it's with.
You're being very difficult. I have one popcorn in my hand.
Right.
One unit of popcorn.
No one's ever said that, but okay.
Okay. I don't care what people say or what they don't say.
Right. You're saying, doesn't it sound weird when they say it?
Do my
thing
immediately.
Said something,
acknowledge my
thing. If someone said something they've never said before, yes, it would sound weird, Danny. Is that what you're trying to get me to say?
I have a kernel of popcorn.
Right.
Is that now are you happy? So maybe don't torpedo the example until I finish it. Maybe just let me finish it.
All right, go with that.
I have a kernel of popcorn.
It sounds great.
Or I have 100 kernels of popcorn. Right? I have one popcorn. I have 100 popcorn. Weird. 100 popcorns sounds more normal than I have 100 popcorn. So if you just cut out that word that you need so desperately in this example.
The one that everyone has used since the beginning of time.
Shorthand. Just as people talk.
Right.
Right, normal conversation. Can I have a piece of popcorn? Can I have a popcorn? Can I have one? Can I have a popcorn? Could imply 100. Could imply 77. That's strange. I know it's the rule. I don't want the rule.
I agree. That
I don't
it's
want
strange.
Anything crazy.
If you're just asking me, is it strange? The answer is yes.
That's all I want.
The reason it's strange is because no one's ever said it before.
We got there.
It's strange because no one would ever say it, because they would say, "Can I have some popcorn?" And that means a bunch of your popcorn, or "Can I have a piece of popcorn?" That would mean I'm going to grab one piece of popcorn.
Look, Moose, how many is over there? You don't know. I want the plural. I want to know that it's either one or more than one, inherently.
I think if there was more than one moose and you were telling me to look over there, you'd say, look, there's some moose. You wouldn't say, look, moose. No one would do it. Like, a kid who's learning how to speak might say, moose, well, and there's eight meese.
Am I acting in surprise, or do I have time? Grant, please take a moment and cast your gaze upon this area where there are several moose.
You would say, Where are we, by the way, in this example? We're in Maine. We're
driving real fast.
You'd be in Western Canada.
There's a moose jumping in front of your damn car.
JP, look at all those moose. That's how you would do it.
You don't have time for that. I'm talking about reactionary. React.
You're talking about situations that have never happened and will never happen.
No deer or moose ever jumped in front of a car?
Yeah.
Ever?
In that situation, you would say, moose!
Right, how many?
One moose.
How many?
One.
You don't know. Could be two. Could be seven. You have no idea.
Okay, so if six jump in front of your car, first of all, you suck at driving because you should have seen them coming at some point. But if six
I'm yelling at you, so you suck at driving.
Okay.
I'm the guy who's notifying you of the moose.
Great. So there's six moose in front of you. You would go, six moose! Just like that. That's what you would do.
As a reaction, you have to do that?
What takes more time, Tom? Ready? Moose! Or some moose!
I would say, watch out. That's what I would say. I do have a way to end this, though, because this has gotten pretty contentious.
It has.
We need to trust our president. And I think that he's going to be the deciding factor.
Well, he
on
does.
This.
He's very good at bringing people together. So why don't we see how he can do it?
Especially Cubs fans.
Right.
Two, three, take me out.
He definitely said S. I got a dollar says he says S.
1,000%. Dollar bet he says S?
Yeah.
See, I can't bet you because I think
S.
He did too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lock. Well, I guess it's solved.
There's so many Cracker Jacks. They're terrific.
It's Cracker Jack, people. Well, we did a whole segment on Cracker Jack. We didn't even get to the point of the story.
What was the point again?
That it's been banned from a ballpark.
Oh, yeah.
And so is Peanuts. So we can get into that later. Now, let's get into Kyler Murray next. Grant and Danny on the Fan. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser has reacted to the news that Maryland's out on a hunt for the Redskins stadium. We'll give you her statement coming up. On Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Kyler Murray is going to play football, not baseball. Here is the question as we open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines for you at 800-636-1067. If Kyler Murray is sub 5'9" or sub 200 pounds, and some people think he's going to be under 190 at his playing weight next season, would you prohibit him from being a first-round drafted quarterback for your organization based on that size? Do you take him off your board because he's 5'8 and change? Do you move him down a couple rounds for that reason? Or, in good faith, if you're making the pick for the Redskins, you're putting their board together, you're Kyle Smith, or you're calling the shots, the final say, Bruce Allen, is the size not a determining factor for you? 800-636-1067.
If I'm in charge of the Redskins, there's too many in the butt column for me to do this. Now, I know everybody's now all in at teams that got the steamies for Kyler Murray, but you add in the height. You add in the weight. I don't buy that he's 205, and even if he is, he's not playing at 205. He played at 25, 30 pounds less than that.
Yeah, he might get up to 205 when he's lifting every day in the offseason and not sweating out 7 pounds at a time at practice, but he's probably playing 190 tops.
Yeah, he's not built to be that. It's, by the way, it's wonderful for your long-term health. It's not wonderful for the health in the NFL, though. When you add in all the complicating factors for me as the Redskins general manager, or a guy that's in charge, that would he work with Jay Gruden's offense? How much adjustments needed? Do I really want a guy that is probably in his last year to take over this kid? Am I putting him in a good chance to win? You add in all the things, and I'm saying no thank you. In general, though, this is one of those boom or bust picks before you add in some of these extra factors, right? And this is another one where I go, honestly, he's been this size his whole life. He's figured out how to avoid contact his whole life. I don't see any reason why he can't continue to do so.
But it's not just the avoiding contact. That's a huge part of it. Because when you're talking about the weight, the durability is the question, the shots he's going to take.
Right.
First of all, let's start with that contact. Faster defenders than you've ever played against.
Sure.
Bigger and stronger defenders than you've ever played against. So, yeah, you could take bad shots in high school or college, and your body can get rattled or wrapped up underneath of you in a weird way, and you could get just as injured at any level as you could in the NFL. But you're now dealing with athletes that can run with you. You never have at his speed before. Robert Griffin had to learn that the hard way. You're now dealing with guys that are huge that can catch up to you when you make that cut. Never has happened before.
Yep.
And the pain is going to be bigger because the hits are going to be harder and louder and more violent. Take that away, though. From a passing standpoint, we talk about this all the time. Eventually, you've got to be able to make throws from the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is my belief, watching him at Oklahoma, that he can do that. I think he is a special passer, and I think in the pocket, he's advanced compared to some of the other dual-threat Heisman candidates, and that is guys like Johnny Manziel or Robert Griffin or Lamar Jackson. He's a better pocket passer than any of those guys I just named. I really genuinely believe that. But one thing they did at Oklahoma was they moved the pocket a lot. And he would routinely go back and watch his highlights. He would be 7, 8, 9 steps behind the line of scrimmage sometimes. Like, let me run as far back as I can on this 5-step drop so that I can then plant 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage so I can see over everyone down the field. In the NFL, all those steps are exact. I remember talking time and time again to offensive linemen with the Skins when Robert Griffin was starting, who were furious because on a 5-step drop, they have to block a play just so. And when a play is called for a 5-step drop as a quarterback, you had better plant on that 5th step and then start climbing the pocket. Because an offensive lineman, say a tackle, is going to block differently if you're supposed to be at a 5-yard depth or a 7 or a 3. I can push a guy behind you at 7 yards if on a 5-step drop you're supposed to be making that throw from 4 yards behind the line. Now, if it's a 5-step design and you take 7 or 8 steps, I'm pushing that guy back. He drills you. It looks like I get beat for a sack.
Mm-hmm.
Used to happen with Griffin all the time, and it annoyed the offensive lineman to no end. Little things like that are going to matter in the NFL that didn't in college, where Kyler Murray could kind of just run as far back as he wanted to, kind of off schedule, make a throw. From 3 steps, can he see over the offensive line, the defensive line? The linemen are bigger. Oklahoma, you got some big boys.
Sure.
Trent Williams, Jamal Brown, some guys like that have gone to Oklahoma.
And their O-line was massive.
It was massive. But you're going to have an average offensive line up front of guys like 6'4", 6'5", at the tackle spot, and maybe even a half inch bigger than that. A lot of 6'2", 6'3", guards and centers. There's defensive linemen on the edges, 6'4", 6'5". You're going to get balls batted at the line. I mean, it is, to some extent, a geometry problem. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we got to bring up, Warren Sharp was on with Chad yesterday. Great interview if you missed it. It's worth podcasting on Chad's site. Warren Sharp, who we have on as a regular guest, has basically made the point, and I've been reading a lot of his work on this like you have, that coaches and GMs, because it's safe, look for size. Whereas size is probably overrated at this point. You know, a guy like a Brock Osweiler or some big 6'5", 6'6" guy is going to get more shots than a smaller guy because you don't get fired when you take that guy. Because you don't have to redesign your offense at all. It's lazy because you don't have to move the pocket. Mm-hmm. You just get to operate how you always have.
And I've argued this for years, that the biggest reason why there aren't more 5'9 guys that have done this is it's self-selective. It goes back to when you're a kid. There's a kid that's 6 foot tall in 8th grade. That's the quarterback. Even though the best athlete on the field may be shorter than that. So he gets put at defensive back, a wide receiver, running back, at safety, whatever it is, right? These guys who are these kinds of athletes who can run and throw and do, now there aren't that many Kyler Murrays who can be a top 10 pick in 2 sports, but you get my point. There have been tons of guys that are world-class athletes that have just been steered away from the quarterback.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spot, because of what goes on at the highest level. At the highest level, you're in between 6'2 and a half and 6'5", typically. That's where the overwhelming majority of these guys fall in terms of their measurements. You get the occasional exception, right? A Drew Brees, he's only 6 foot, but he can still do it. Then you get a Russell Wilson. Molds start to get broken more often. Now, the next generation of kids that see Kyler Murray play, just because you're 5'7 as a sophomore in high school, doesn't mean that you're not the quarterback anymore. It trickles down. You're going to see more of these guys. So the biggest reason you haven't seen a 5'10 quarterback excel is because there haven't been many guys that were 5'10 to excel. It's a self-selective part of the population, right? Typically, they look a certain way, the quarterbacks do. They're these big, strong-armed guys that can't really move around. The days of Drew Bledsoe are over. I got news. This is the future.
Right. Ideally, you could find a guy with size and athleticism. I mean, that's what everybody's looking for. You know, your Roethlisberger, Cam Newton, Aaron Rodgers-like play extenders that are 6'3 to 6'5 and who can also move. That's tough to find. But yeah, I would rather, if you're telling me choose a guy who's 5'9 with wheels and a strong arm, or a guy who's 6'5 and has cinder blocks for feet, at this point in today's NFL, it looks like 3 years from now, if one of those two things is endangered, it's not going to be the little guy. Would you draft Kyler Murray if he shows up at the combine sub 5'9, sub 195? Let's just put this on him now. 5'8 and a half and 190 pounds is what he's going to play at. Can you draft him at number 15 if you're the Redskins? Just based on the size, nothing else. 800-636-1067, G&D on the Fan. Would Kyler Murray being undersized prohibit you from drafting him? My answer, Danny, is no. I would draft him at his size at number 15 if I was the Redskins, assuming everything else checks out. That's not the overall endorsement of go get this guy. Because let's find out. Do we think he can play? How's the arm strength? Can he make all the throws? How does he fit into my offense? How much of my offense would I have to change? Can he play in the NFL? Not at his size, but coming from that spread and some of the things I'd have to design for him. The interview with Dan Patrick was a disaster. How's he going to be running my outfit and being my CEO of my company? All things I got to figure out. Then you get into the baggage with being a dual sports star and having baseball to fall back on and whether or not I got to worry about him jumping ship to baseball if he has a terrible year 365 days from now.
Yeah, too many variables for me in general, but we're just talking the size part.
And for right now, let's do that. Height, weight, they're going to be small. I mean, he's going to be under 5'9", potentially, and he's going to be under – some people are saying he'll be in the 180s. I think he's got time to get himself up into the mid-190s or 200 pounds, even though he doesn't play at that.
Right.
But at the combine, if he is 5'8 and a half and 190, does that mean you're not taking him in the first round?
No, not for me. Not for me.
Not for me either. Let's go to Dave in Fairfax, and we'll take calls on this at 800-636-1067.
Yeah, how you doing?
What's up, bud?
All right, I would absolutely not take him because of his size, not the height, because he does check off. He's got, you know, great, he's got a great mind on him. He can make the throws, he can make the decisions. But even on a completed pass with a legal hit from someone like a Aaron Donald or somebody like that, once they fall on him, that's it. He's going to snap it half. And if you remember Pat White from WVU, he took one hit, that was it. That was it for him. And like I said, it's not the question of any of the intangibles or any of the statistics or any of that. It's what's one of those big guys legally fall on him. That's it. You've lost your franchise quarterback, and there's nothing you can do about that.
Appreciate
those 5'9 guys are not durable, and they don't last like a Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers do.
Thank you for the call, buddy.
Here's my only question, though. He says they don't last. When have we had those guys to even decide that about?
But it's also who's better built than Andrew Luck? He got blasted, hurt himself. You know what I mean? Like he's as thick and proper and stout and has all the things that you would want in terms of size. He got blown up. My point is, if you're saying a quarterback gets hit and he might get injured, yep, absolutely. You know what I mean?
I agree with you, but I got to play devil's advocate for a second because there's a small part of me that gets annoyed by it, something people say all the time, and it's a little different than what you just did, but like. This is going to sound like I'm way off the beaten path. I'm going to bring this back. Okay? So give me 1 second. Pat Mahomes played basketball. GM of the Chiefs comes out and says Pat Mahomes shouldn't play basketball. Okay? Pat Mahomes now says he's not playing basketball anymore. Mm-hmm. Big debate about that by everybody. One of the straw man things that I heard people come out and say was, and we had guests on our show say it. I heard them all over the country on different places and platforms.
You could get hurt mowing your lawn.
Exactly. You could get hurt cutting the grass. You could get hurt walking down the street. I could tear my ACL stumbling coming out of a restaurant.
You get hurt sitting on the couch. Is it more or less dangerous than jumping out of an airplane without a parachute?
There is a chance of getting hurt seriously playing basketball or tearing an ACL, say, playing basketball that far exceeds that of walking down the street. And if you don't agree with that, then you're just being obtuse. I mean, there is no debating that. But you hear that, and we just have to pretend like that's a thing. Like, well, he's right. You could get hurt going out to dinner. You're probably not going to. A lot more guys have gotten hurt playing basketball. So coming back to this, yeah, anyone could get hurt at any time. And quarterbacks are going to get hurt. But most of the time, a guy like Andrew Luck is going to be able to take more hits, take more shots, take more pain and agony and big violent collisions than a guy with a smaller frame. So you're right. Anyone could get hurt. It's kind of a straw man thing. But when you're smaller, those hits add up faster.
No, they certainly do. And that wasn't to dispute that general chain of logic. Of course, if you were designing someone in a lab, you'd design a hardier person to withstand punishment. The point I'm making, though, is with the rules now about how difficult it is to hit quarterbacks and not get penalized for it, with how everything has changed, you can't violate Tom Brady's airspace. You can't come near his face and wash in front of it. Otherwise, it's a 15-yard penalty and they'll probably fine you. You can't go low. You can't go high. You can barely go in between. You can't fall on guys. At least that was the emphasis early this season. He's made his whole life of escaping contact.
Right.
So to me, is he more likely if a guy catches up to him and Ndamukong Suh lands on him, is he more likely to be hurt than the next guy? Yes, without question. But there's something to be said for adapting and surviving, which is what he's always done and to thrive
True.
At each level.
But it is inevitable that that hit's coming. It is coming. It's going to happen. You cannot play in the league for 10 years and not get destroyed. Not to mention when you run around as much as he does. Now, I give him the benefit of the doubt in this regard. I saw a little Russell Wilson in him. You know, luckily, because he played at Oklahoma and how great they were, we got to see so much of Kyler Murray nationally this season. So I feel like, unlike when we're talking about Drew Locke from Missouri or even mm-hmm. Daniel Jones, who's all over the early game of ESPN for Duke, most of us have a pretty good beat on what this dude is as a player. This past year, Kyler Murray, as a ball carrier, did often run 10, 15 times a game. And in fact, rushed for 100 yards on 17 attempts against Alabama at the end of the season. He ended up rushing 140 times for 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns.
Mm.
Now,
explosive.
I think some people are going to tell you this is a running quarterback. And I think that they would be wrong. I really do. Unlike a lot of these guys like Lamar Jackson or Johnny Manziel, who love to leave clean pockets and love to make plays with their feet, I think he would prefer to stand there and make throws. In the games where he was rushing for 100, he was throwing for 360. I mean, and that's not a bit. Like, you go back, he rushed for 100 against Texas Tech. He threw for 360 that day. 114 against West Virginia. 364 through the air. 109 against Alabama. Threw for 310 that day. Threw for 380 against Texas. The numbers were just astronomical. I say all that to say, when you run around as much as he did, you're going to get killed in the NFL. Yes, he's got some Wilson where he can slide, and that baseball background helps him, and he's better at avoiding contact than Griffin and Manziel and some of these other dudes who take on big shots were. It takes one.
It does.
And I don't care how fast you are. You are 4.39, 4.40. There's a DB running that, man.
Someone's
going to
get you.
And he's coming downhill at your ass. You're going to take a shot. It's just going to happen. When you do, I wish you weren't 5'8", 187. I wish you were 6'3", and 238. No, 6'5", and 222. Whatever the numbers were.
Right, whatever the number is. Yeah, obviously, it's not ideal, but that's the reason he might be available to you. It's going to require a paradigm
shift. Good point.
Shift.
He would go first overall if he was 6'4", 220.
It's going to require a huge organizational adjustment, which, again, is why I don't want the Redskins to do this. But whoever takes him, has to say, not only are we going to do whatever we can to protect him, but we're going to have to make a completely brand new redesign, 180 degree from our previous regime in terms of offense. Because everything else is designed for 6'4", 225, pat the football, this, that, and the other thing. It's got to be beyond the college offense. You're basically asking, hey, Lincoln Riley, can you photocopy your playbook for me? And go ahead and ship it over here, and we'll just change the header.
I would have been, if I'm a team that needed a coach, and I was picking in the top 10, I would have been talking in my boardroom about hiring Lincoln Riley and then drafting Kyler Murray as a package deal. I think the team that eventually does that, this is a terrible dated example now, but just say back in the day, when you go get Art Briles and Robert Griffin, you know, or you go
right.
get Kevin Sumlin and Johnny Manziel. Manziel never was going to be any good anyway, but the point is, that to me is when you could really have something. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Berries for Luga is at spring training where pitchers and catchers reported today. We'll get the latest on the Nats reportedly, and it sounds like, moving on from Bryce Harper. They have given away his locker in the clubhouse. We'll ask him about that. Also, a Nats spotlight of the new faces, pitchers and catchers at 118. Coming up at 1:30, Danny, FanDuel has put out the likeliness of Case Keenum with each NFL organization. And
oh,
the
I just saw that.
Are very high on that list for D&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.